well over 30% of the world population calls itself Christian. And so much of that growth in the world is happening not in America, right? Not in Europe, where it used to be. We looked at 100 years ago, where were most Christians? In Europe, in America. But that's changing. That's been changing, as we now see and more and more Christians are in the global south, where it's sub-Saharan Africa, or it's Asia, where one out of eight Christians in the world is Asian. One out of four Christians is from Africa in the world today. So the landscape has changed. The kingdom of God has changed. But the kingdom of God has everything to do with seed. Seed. And we talked about that. Seed. Now, some of you are, I should ask, who is a gardener in here? Who is a planter, gardener, reaper of crops? You get vegetables, right? You get squirrels, okay? You plant seeds and you get squirrels, okay? That's not a good harvest, but so we have a few people, right, who have green thumbs and you're planters and you know how to cultivate. Maybe you flower, maybe some of you just know how to grow flowers and things like that. I didn't see a lot of hands, but some of you know what to do. If I gave you a seed packet today, you would know what to do with that. And you could get something out of that, right? Now, some of you, I give you a seed packet and without prayer and fasting, you'll get nothing, right? You need some help, right? You need some help with the seeds. Now, we've all probably had experiences planting seeds. And we know what happens. You plant a seed and in a soil, you give it a proper measure of what it needs and it grows. There's a produce. There's something that happens and takes place in that seed, in that soil that produces, right? So, I ask you, say, what would you do? Well, some of us have no plans to garden whatsoever. Some of us do. Some of us would just give the seed to somebody else and say, here, in your hands, it will be of use. Not in my hands. But we can all agree that what the end result is has nothing to do with the seed. Or I should say this, that the problem is not with the seed, right? If you were to plant it in the right conditions, it will grow. It's the nature of the seed. The nature of the seed within that seed is going to produce life. It's going to produce a plant that's going to have a harvest and fruit and whatever the seed is, it's going to produce of its kind, right? But what happens, though, if you never take the seed out of the packet, right? It's pretty much guaranteed what's going to happen, right? Well, there's nothing going to happen. And that's what happens. There will be absolutely no vegetables. There will be no flowers. There will be nothing because the seed is still in the packet. We know it has to get out of the packet into the soil. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It just has to be sown. So if the sower does not sow the seed, there's a great disconnect that happens. Okay, that's what I want to talk about a little bit this week. We've already talked about how the growth of Christianity has happened in the world. And we know and see that Christianity is alive and well in the world, even though some newscasts might say it's dead. Maybe people have even claimed, and years ago we heard this, that God was dead. Well, far, far from that. God is certainly not dead, and his kingdom is not dead. His kingdom is growing, and is growing today. It's amazing what God is doing in the world. We're seeing decline in America. We're seeing decline in Europe. And there's multiple reasons for that. There's multiple reasons for why we have declining Christianity in America. But one of the reasons is really from the lack of sowing. The lack of sowing. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk about that. Now, there's a parable in Matthew 13 that is well known to us, and I think well known to you. It's the parable of the seed and the sower, all right? And let me just describe that, because I don't want to go through all the scriptures, but just to remind you of the seed and the sower, is that there was a farmer who sowed seed all over different kinds of ground. And he was out sowing seed, putting it out on the ground, and there was different kinds of soil. There was the pathway where some seed fell on the pathway, was quickly eaten up by birds. There was some seed that was, the soil was actually rocky, where it was somewhat soil and some rock. It was a mixture. And there was some soil where the seed fell on that was good, but it also had other things there like thorns and weeds and things that choked out the growth of what was planted by that seed. And then there was finally the fourth soil, was the good soil, that when the seed fell upon the good soil, it produced a crop. It produced a crop of bountifulness, of different levels of bountifulness. So we remember this, the parable of the seeds, okay, and the sower. And it gives us insight to a kingdom principle of sowing when Jesus shares this with his disciples. Now, Jesus explains this to his disciples later on in Matthew 13, and that's what we're going to pick up in verse 18. He explains this parable because he wants the disciples to have wisdom and knowledge, and he wants us also to understand. So let's pick this up. It says, Jesus is speaking, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's words, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted." That's the word of God for us today. And Lord God, we pray, let this word take root in us. Give us understanding, give us wisdom, give us your rhema word to help us understand your calling on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we can look at this parable, and we know we've read this parable quite a few times, probably some of us, who knows, maybe even 100 times. But we know that God's word is seed, okay? God's word is seed. It's the gospel message to the world. Excuse me. God is very clear, and he says this. He says that my word will not return back to me void. Because when God sends out his seed, when God sends out his word, he knows that there's life in it. It will produce life. It's the nature of the seed. The nature of seed. This is why the analogy of God's word and seed is so appropriate, because there is life in it. There is life in it. Life eternal, life abundant, that within the word of God, there's the power to save. There's a power to save lives, to transform lives, and to deliver people. There's power to heal in God's word. There's power to renew and restore lives. In the word of God, there's the power to overcome deceitfulness in our hearts, to cleanse us from lies, to correct us from lies, to help us come out of places of bitterness and anger and resentfulness. There's the power of the word. So God's word is amazingly powerful. Sometimes we don't even give it enough credit for the power of what God's word can do. The word produces life, but not in every situation. and not at all times. And I think when we look at this parable of the sower, we see seed is sown. Seed is sown, but not every seed produces a harvest and a crop. But it's sown. Now, some may look at this and look at all the seed that's producing nothing. And sometimes we might even come up with a concept of what a waste. What a waste. That's a whole lot of waste of seed falling on ground and soil, and it produces nothing. Isn't it better just to save our seed? But, of course, I think we should look at it, I believe, on the other end of things and saying, with all the seed sown, look at the product. Look at what was produced. Look at the crop that was produced, the abundance that came forward. Look at the great things that the Word of God, the seed, brought about. Ultimately, what I come back to say is the problem is not with the seed. The problem is never with the seed or the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Now, for us, by the way, who participate in kingdom work, because we get the opportunity to be sowers. God gives us the privilege to participate with Him to sow the seed, to sow the Word of God. So each of us has the ability and the privilege to be sowers of God's Word, of His seed. And we do not have to reinvent the seed, meaning we do not have to reinvent the good news or the gospel message. We do not have to create another version of it that's maybe less offensive or is more palatable to the American mindset or the American culture. We don't have to create a hybrid version of the seed that we believe will produce better. There's a great temptation in the church today to do that, to create a different version of the gospel or a more likable version of the gospel, maybe a less bloody version, maybe a less sacrificial version, and something that's more palatable. In fact, in the church, we see that today. We see that has been done. We see there are those who've fallen to that temptations, and in their good intentions, which I realize it's done with good intention, you know? We need to win more people to the Lord. But done, even in their good intentions, they can pervert the gospel. And we have to be careful to not pervert the gospel, but to sow the gospel. We want to make sure to not tamper with the good news and create another gospel that's not maybe even truly really the gospel. Because if we start messing with it, and Paul says, you know, don't fall to a different gospel than what I've preached to you. And Paul warns those who have heard the true gospel that he preached. So we need not tamper with the good news. That's the first thing. But we need to be confident. We need to be confident in the seed, the Word of God, to produce. Because it will produce. It will not return void. Now, the Bible tells us in the parable of the sower that some seed will not produce. Now, why? Why is that? It's not because the seed is bad or there's a problem with the seed, but it always goes back to the soil. It's due to bad soil or the soil not being ready. Now, it says some of the soil was hard, okay, like a beaten down pathway, that the seed really could not penetrate or get deep into, but it stayed more towards the surface. And some of the soil was rocky. Yes, there was soil there, but the seed struggled to take deeper root because of the rockiness of the soil. And when troubles came, those who received it fell away. And then there was the soil that really seemed to be very good, good soil, but there was worldliness in that soil. And the cares of this world and the desire for wealth and riches caused that the growth that was happening in that soil to be choked out. And it never produced. It never had any, there was never a harvest to reap. But then there was the good soil. The good soil free from hardness and worldliness, and it grew abundantly, wonderfully. Now we know in the parable the soil is the heart. The soil is the heart. It's the heart that receives the word of God. And where that word of God gets in our heart, it starts doing a work in us. I talked last week about the kingdom of God doing a work in us, how important it is for the kingdom of God to do a work in us, because the more it does works inside of us, it will go out into the world. And that's kind of how this kingdom thing works. It's an inside-out kind of kingdom. But it all starts with seeds. It starts with seeds that are planted in our heart and that grow and begin to produce something that it's a mystery, how the seed works and how we see this growth that God brings and what he's doing. And months go by and years go by and we start to recognize, Lord, I'm changed. I'm a different person. I'm not the same as I used to be because of the working of your word and the gospel in my life. Now, again, some seed does not produce, and it seems like a waste, but as disappointing as this is, and we see this a lot in our culture, we are not to stop sowing. We should never stop sowing seed. We should never stop taking the seed out of the packet and sowing for harvest. We should not stop. If we commit to sow seed and not give up, we will see kingdom results. Now, each of us have prayed for people, some people for years. We've prayed for loved ones, and we've asked God to work in their hearts. And that's a good prayer to pray, because we need hearts tilled. We need hearts tended. A lot of times, reasons why people we pray for do not receive is because of the hardness of their heart, the hardness of their soil. And there needs to be a tilling of the soil. And that's a good prayer to pray. Oh, God, soften their hearts, that they might receive the word of God, and let that do a work inside of them. But the Bible says, do not give up. Do not grow weary. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 gives us this exhortation. It says this, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Don't grow tired and weary, meaning don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes it's long endurance, steadfastness that we're called to pray, to seek, to bless, to do for others, even when it doesn't seem other people are receiving it. It doesn't seem other people are getting it. We pray for that. We pray, God, open their ears, open their eyes, and remove the scales off their eyes and the hardness out of their heart, Lord, that they might receive your word. We do experience weariness, and part of what we are to do is encourage one another. We should encourage one another. But we must not give up. We must keep praying, keep sharing, keep giving, keep loving. Don't close our hearts. Don't close our hearts, even when others close theirs. Because that happens in the world all the time. People close their hearts. But that's not the signal for us to close ours. We must keep showing love. Showing love to those who don't like us, who even revile us. Showing love to those who maybe are the most unloving people in the world. Maybe they're not kind. They don't have the gospel of Christ. They don't have that seed on the inside of them. And it's a challenge, but it requires more of God in us. See, that's a good thing when we realize, Lord, I'm having a hard time loving this person. You're going to have to love this person through me. But then you have to go to God. You have to go to God to get more of his love for people that, honestly, if you were just honest, you don't love them. I mean, you don't even like them. Or maybe you, because all those things, because sometimes when people are being people, they can be mean and ugly. And you're just trying to love them. You're trying to bless them. You're just trying to share with them. And what they share back with you is not good. It's not nice. So we had to have more of God in us. And the only way we find that is get on our knees. You know, have we ever gotten on our knees for others? It's amazing. If we will pray for others, get on our knees to intercede for others, you know, it's amazing that God's love will actually grow in us, that this supernatural love can come in us that we did not have, but he actually can grow in us. It's amazing how sometimes it presses us to seek God more when there are situations of people who just seem, well, impossible. But it's worth it. It's worth it for that person that we're persevering for in prayer, in serving and caring for. And it's worth it for us. It really is. I mean, think about how it's going to feel or how it does feel when we finally see the breakthrough. When we finally see long years come to fruition. And someone's heart softens. And they receive being loved. They receive the truth of God. It's worth it when it costs us time, cost us resources. It's worth it. But it's so important that we grow in the love of God as we seek for the good of others. That as we're doing that, it helps us grow, to mature. It helps our walk to mature and the love of God in us to mature. And I'll guarantee our heart will not grow cold if we keep it before the Lord and keep going to God. How important it is to keep our heart open and seeking the good of others. It keeps us closer to God. Well, the enemy wants us to shut our hearts. The enemy wants us to shut down. You know, I've done enough. Now, I will say this. We love people. And there's a certain extent that you should guard your heart. I will say this because I feel like, not in my notes, but I just feel like guard your heart. Because some people can be mean. Some people can be awful. Guard your heart. Okay, boundaries are important. But we still can love people. We can still bless them. And sometimes it takes wisdom on how to do that. Because sometimes people are not receiving what we're hoping they would receive. Keep your heart open. Don't close your heart. Now, when it comes to sowing seed, another issue is some of us don't believe we're sowers. Some of us believe that they're professional sowers who sow seed. They know how to sow seed. Like, there's gardeners who know how to garden. I don't know how to garden, so I won't garden. And we kind of equate that with there are professional sowers. There's, like, evangelists who go out and preach messages, and they bring people to Jesus. And there's preachers who have responsibility to love people and to plant seeds in people's lives. But the reality is we're all sowers, each and every one of us. So don't count yourself out of that, because we all have seed to sow, and we all are sowers. If you've received the Word of God in your life, you have something to give. You know the Word of God. You've experienced this life in you and what it brings. You have a testimony. You've had a testimony of how God has worked in your life and what the Word of God has done in your life and the truth of the gospel and how it's impacted you. You don't have to have a perfect life to sow seed. You don't have to have this cleaned up version of now I'm a finished product. You're not a finished product. I'm not a finished product. We're never finished products. Sometimes our lives can be messy, but it doesn't mean we don't have seed to sow. Because you know what? We need to sow seed, and it's okay to say, you know what? My life's not always perfect. It's not, and sometimes it's messy. And because people in the world who have messy lives need to hear that. But they need to hear how God has changed their lives, changed our lives, and what he's done for me and what he's done for you. And what he's still doing for me and what he's still doing for you. We're growing in the Lord. But we have seed to sow. in other people's lives. People come from all kinds of places in this world. We never know what's going to impact their lives at what the Bible says, the appropriate time, the right time. Because timing does matter. Because there's works going on in people's lives that we don't see. There's things happening and forming and coming together for in people's lives that there's a place for them. It may not be now. It may not be today. But there's a coming time for them to be able to receive the Word of God. The Lord's taught me about sowing seed, and He's taught you about sowing seed over your years and my years. I can remember a time that was, it caught my attention. I was just simply, the Lord said, I was in a small group years ago. I was in a small group, and a brother was sharing about his prayer concerns. He needed work. He needed work. I said, okay. And I thought about this. I thought, well, yeah, do I know anybody that, you know, I was trying to see, you know, could I answer that prayer that way? Like, maybe I know somebody. But I didn't. I really didn't have a good connection for him. But the Lord prompted me to call him later and to sow a blessing, just a blessing in his life. I couldn't sow a job. I couldn't connect that for him. But the Lord called me to sow a simple seed. And so I met with him and gave him that small blessing, maybe a small little trip to Walmart kind of thing. But I gave him a card with a written encouragement, okay, for him. But what I didn't know that his wife was with him. I'd never met his wife. And she read the note right there, and as we were talking, and she started to cry. I looked over, and she was in the car, and she was crying. I was like, oh, what's, you know, and she was reading the note. I had no idea of what that was doing in her heart. And I could tell you, it wasn't the money. That was no big seed there. But it was the note that God had prompted me to write to encourage her. And I didn't know I was encouraging her. I just was encouraging him, encouraging them. And just showing, you know, God loves you. He's not forgotten about you. He's for you. You know, you're not alone. And all those things that spoke loud and clear to her, it softened her heart, because she was going through struggles and difficulties, and she needed to hear that. It reached her heart. The Lord showed me that, of how something so simple can really touch somebody in a powerful way and help that person, not only in their day, but reform the situation they're in. We all have the ability to sow seed, we each and every one of us. Even if we think we have little, right? Even if we think we have little. You know, God didn't call me to give what I couldn't give. He called me to give what I could give. And when I did that, when I was obedient, it blessed somebody in ways I don't even fully understand, but it did. So it was just simple obedience to say, Lord, yes, that's what we need to do. When you say and you prompt, I must do, because on the other end of that, somebody is getting blessed. We're called to plant seeds. And we're to do it for those who don't know the Lord and those who do know the Lord. Even Galatians passage tells us that. It's like we don't stop doing good works, and we do it amongst each other even as well. Because there are those Christians, right, who need encouragement today. There are those Christians who we're still sowing seed. You know, I hope people are still sowing seed in your life, because I know people are still sowing seed in my life for things that are going to produce something that the Lord wants to produce in me and what the Lord wants to produce in you. And so we also do that in the body of Christ. We sow seed. You know, our revelation of God is growing. Your revelation, my revelation, and we're to be growing people. And so we continue to plant seeds. And we needed to continue to see God's kingdom growing in us, inside of us, and out in the world. Now, it does require us to have an investment. It does require us to give something of ourselves, because it becomes personal. You know, it becomes personal. You know, unless we give of ourselves, it doesn't have as much meaning, right? We give something that's personal to us, our testimony, something that requires us maybe a sacrifice, maybe something of giving our time, our resources. But it does require an investment that will make an impact in other people's lives. And we make room for other people in our lives. We make room. So sometimes the investment is making room for others so that we can do life with them. You know, some people don't know what it's like to be in a Christian home. They've never been invited into one. They don't know what it's like, how Christian families treat each other. They've never seen that. It's powerfully impactful when people just begin to see how Christians treat each other, how they love each other, how we care for each other. Those type of things mean a lot and make a difference in people's understanding of the gospel. So sometimes we make room, we need to make room for others in our lives. You know, God says that he will honor us as laborers who labor with him. He will honor us. He will bless us. But he will not honor those who don't take the seed out of the packet and just put the packet in the drawer and to do nothing. The Bible's pretty clear. He does not honor those who do that with what we've been given by God. We have to learn to trust God that we can be difference makers. And we have to learn to trust that his seed is powerful and that when planted, it will produce. It will produce harvest. And that we are called, the calling is just to sow. And not sow little, but just sow more. Sow more. And the Bible tells us, it doesn't matter who gets the credit, right? We don't need to be worried about who gets the credit because that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to sow. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7 says it this way. It says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. God's responsible for the growth of the seed. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. So forget about the credit, because I don't know about you, but I've experienced this in life where I was on the end of the things when I got to lead somebody to Jesus and pray with them. But I fully realized that what came before were people sowing seeds into this person's life. Why did this person want the gospel? Why did this person have a heart to receive the gospel? Sure, I got to pray with them, but I wasn't the one who planted the seed. I was just the one who, at the end, prayed with that person to receive Christ. Now, on the other end, you may be the person who plants the seed, but you don't get to see the end result. Like, you're not there to see the end result because that's going to be somebody else's job. But we do our part. We do what we're called to do, to bless lives and to help bring that person to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we do what we're called to do and not worry about who gets the credit. It's God who is at work, and that's the ultimate. It's God who makes things grow. He will bring harvest. And we just are obedient to do what God calls us to do. You know, people are going through things. You know, today, that person that we pray for is not ready to receive the gospel. But we do not give up. Because we have no idea. 3 weeks from now, that person could be ready to receive the gospel. We don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know what God's doing and how he's orchestrating and the kind of things and maybe the difficulties they're going through and the kind of things that will even bring them to a place of getting on their knees and wanting Jesus and asking for Jesus to come into their lives. Or a place where they're hungry and they're desperate and they just call out, if you're real, Lord, if you're really real, show yourself to me. And he does. He does. But that right there is an opening. That's the soil opening up to receive the seed. We don't know when that's going to happen in somebody's life, but we pray. We give. We love, we serve, we water, we plant, we sow. And we continue. We don't close shop. We don't close up because of disappointments, because of things we haven't seen yet. We don't close shop. We say, Lord, God says it. God gives seed to the sower, right? But that's an active understanding. He gives seed to the one who is sowing. And that's what we have. We sow seed and there's more. There's more and there's more and there's more to sow. We never should limit God. We never should limit His Word, the power of His Word to work in our lives and other people's lives, those around us. We never know. We never know what God's going to do. Let me take the example of Rosaria Butterfield. Let me give her as an example for us today. She was someone you and I would think the Word of God would never penetrate their heart. Never. And this is good because this is really appropriate for our culture today. For many years, she was a professor of English literature at Syracuse University. She was a radical scholar. She did not believe in Christianity. She was an atheist. She was also a lesbian, and she thought Christianity was crazy, absolutely crazy. Those crazy Christians. Would you consider her a prime candidate to hear the gospel message? Talk about hard soil. She hated Christians and their message because she was in direct opposition, and she thought they were in direct opposition with her. Now, on her website, I'm going to just read a description, a part of her description from her website about her story. It says her primary academic field was critical theory, specializing in queer theory. Don't you love secondary education? Her historical focus was 19th century literature informed by Freud, Marx, and Darwin, your favorite authors. She advised the LGBTQ+ student group, wrote Syracuse University's policy for same-sex couples, and actively lobbied for the LGBTQ+ aims alongside her lesbian partner. In 1997, while Rosaria was researching the religious right and their politics of hatred against people like me, that's why it quotes, against their politics of hatred against people like me, as she was saying, she wrote an article against the Promise Keepers. Do you remember the Promise Keepers, men's movement for decades, years ago? She was writing an article against the Promise Keepers. A response to that article triggered a meeting with Ken Smith, who became a resource on the religious right and their Bible, a confidant, and a friend. In 1999, after repeatedly reading the Bible in large chunks of her research, Rosaria converted to Christianity. Her first book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, details her conversion and the cataclysmic fallout in which she lost everything except the dog, yet gained eternal life in Christ. Can you imagine? She literally did lose everything. I mean, her whole life was really opposed to God in so many ways. And yet, a Christian who did not get offended, who did not try to fight her and win an argument, became her friend. And open conversation and open dialogue talked about this faith. Also want to say this, that there was a Christian couple who befriended Rosaria in those years of she was kind of working things out. They invited her into her home, had dinner, and talked. Openly allowed for questions of the faith, and open dialogue and talking. Not getting offended, not getting upset, but just sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. Isn't that amazing? Just opening our homes to people that we wouldn't necessarily think we could have fellowship with. Maybe people who we think hate us because our belief in the gospel. And yet, they find the love of God, like Rosaria found the love of God. So we can plant seeds. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist to sow seeds into people's hearts. But we do have to love people. We do have to carry something in our hearts for people and willingness to invest in other people's lives that they could receive the Word of God. So how do you live your life sowing seed? What does that look like? In your prayer time? In your daily out there in the world time? In your relationships that you develop or are even willing to develop? We never know how the Word of God will impact somebody's life. And even when they refuse it today, we don't know how the Lord is working and moving. Rosario didn't become a Christian overnight, but she saw and began to understand the gospel even as she peered into people's lives. And she actually began to know real Christians, not the ones that were stereotyped out there. Well, we need to be real Christians that people get to know, not the stereotypes that sometimes people think. Be that hand, be those feet of Christ. But keep your heart open. Keep your heart open and your eyes open to what God's saying, what God's doing, what God's leading. And keep praying. Ask God. I say ask God for opportunities to sow seed. You may be sowing seed for somebody else's prayer. As we pray that God is even sowing seeds for our prayers in people's lives. Because it's the body of Christ that's at work. Those are good prayers to pray. And I challenge us this morning. Open heart, open life, love people, bless people. Let God show you with wisdom on how to be a sower and to make it a lifestyle. I'm challenged to do this. I don't know if you, I am challenged. This is a challenge to me. I see it. I see the effects of it sometimes over time when you're talking to somebody and blessing somebody and just being having a real conversation. I mean, somebody gave me a hug at the grocery store the other day. And I realized that I've just talked to this person at the grocery store for many, many months. And I see that this person sees something in me that they would give me a hug. And I say, okay. Well, God, you know, I pray for that person. And that God is doing a work in that person's life. I haven't seen the manifestation fully, but I know God's at work. And so we trust and we keep praying. And we keep blessing and we keep doing. So that's my challenge this morning. I invite us to pray and I invite us to ask God, Lord, help me to be a seed sower, to do according to your will, to be obedient, to hear your voice, and to respond.